I don't know about you guys. I enjoyed that slab of roast beef last week. I think we ought to have another portion this week.
Yes.
How about some strong meat from 2 Timothy again? Let's go back into that. And because God's not calling us to something wimpy or something that the devil's not going to challenge. If you think we've been challenged getting to revival, if you're a reader of history, read what comes after revival breaks out, okay? And so we've got to develop some rhino hide. We've got to be purged of handles, even things that where they'll slander you and you keep going anyway. So I think the fact that he's serving up portions like this and causing it to come forward at this hour is encouraging to me. Meaning we must be getting close to something. He wouldn't be feeding this if we weren't about to need it, I think. So maybe revival is close.
Yes.
Let's say that. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to pick it up here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to come near the end of where we were last time. Let's see. How about verse 15? Everybody knows that that's a real famous verse, and it still applies to us today. In fact, we'll back up one, because this thought really continues a lot in this chapter. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 14, says, of these things... Now, first off, you've got to remember, Timothy is a pastor. He's a pastor at the church of Ephesus at this time. So some of the things that... You wouldn't necessarily preach this to Mary Wallpaper and Joe Public, okay? But see, I know everybody here on a Sunday night and everyone listening to these messages around the world, you're called to ministry some way or another. I'm not necessarily saying you're the fivefold, but one way or another, you're called to be on the front lines. So you're going to have these qualities in you as well. Okay? So starting in verse 14, he says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord. Whenever he says before the Lord, I mean, we're talking major authority here. He's saying, it's as if the Lord is standing right beside me, and I'm charging you in front of Him now. I have His... I'm not doing this by my choice. I'm doing this by commandment. Okay? So charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. And He's going to give an example here in a little bit. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, again, that's a benchmark verse for Gary Carpenter, because I do have shame over some of the things that I taught in the early days. I taught them sincerely. I would have fought to the death over it. I believed it was right, but the only reason I believed it is because I'd heard people that I respected teach it to me, people on TV mostly. I could name the same names that you're thinking of. They were probably sincere, but it was wrong anyhow. And so I'll tell you again about the time I used to teach to New Testament believers, if you can believe, creatures from another world. I used to teach them that they were cursed if they don't tithe. Now someone listening to this right now say, what's wrong with that? They teach that every Sunday at my church. You're listening to a false teacher. If you're born again, you're listening to a false teacher. Now, they may be sincere. I'm sure they're on their way to heaven. We're going to look at two guys here that were in severe error, yet they're still on their way to heaven. Okay? But I used to teach that. I to Sue's own sister one time, like she didn't have enough problems. I said to her, straight, in a Bible study, in front of people, to my shame, I said, even God can't help you because you don't tithe. Now, years later, after we started coming here to this place and I began hearing the truth and I began learning how to pray in the Holy Ghost and I learned how to meditate in whole images, it took the Holy Ghost Himself. I don't think anybody but God could have untaught me those things. That's how severely I held to them. But line upon line, just like He can teach you line upon line, He can de-teach you line upon line. What I mean by that, He just started destroying all that false doctrine one little line at a time. And it took Him about 2 years. It took Him about 2 years to get me turned around and where I understood that, Lord, really, now I understand the law wasn't even given to our species, for crying out loud. I mean, that whole species of man that the law was given to died in Christ. Died in Christ. And when you got born again, you began life as a new species with a different Adam. Your Adam now is the last Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a different nature. You don't look externally for a law. He put His law in your heart. Well, anyway, we could teach on that a long time. But when I read that verse, I don't ever want to feel shame again for teaching error out of God's Word. That's why sometimes I'll sit on a revelation 2 or 3 years until I know that I know. I'll dissect that thing and chew it like an old cow, you know, and until I know for sure. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. And he gives an example of what he means here in just a little bit. So, reading verse 15 again says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And by the way, that's the only one anymore that I care about. I don't care whether you like me. I don't care whether anybody else likes me. I don't care whether the TV preachers like me. The only one I care about is that the Lord says that's the truth. That's the truth. That's all I care about. Proved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun, and that shun means just what you think it does. Stay away from it. Shun, refuse, profane, and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I gave you some examples last week, so listen to that. We're not going to harp on that tonight. But, and their word will eat as does a canker, that's like a cancer. And notice, he names names. See, don't get on to Dave from naming names when it comes to Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson could have his name written right here as one who has departed from the faith. Carlton Pearson, in case you don't know, he was trained by the best. He was raised up under T.L. Osborne and Kenneth Hagin and Oral Roberts and who? Catherine Kuhlman, for crying out loud. And then nowadays, though, he's out teaching. No, you don't really have to be a Christian to go to heaven. If you're a sincere Buddhist, you'll make it. If you're just, all, the only thing that matters is that you be sincere. You can be a sincere, whatever, Hindu, Buddhist, Islam, whatever, and you'll still make it. I don't mind putting his name. You know, if Paul could name names, it's not wrong to name names. I mean, it's dangerous. You can't be listening to that. We can't be saying, well, just because he calls himself a Christian, you can stand in the car and call. You can stand in the garage and call yourself a Chevy. It don't make you a car. You know? Now, I'm not saying Carlton's not saved. He probably is saved, to be honest with you, because he still doesn't deny that Jesus is the Christ. But he's real close. And if you believe what he's teaching, that you can be a sincere Buddhist and make heaven, you won't make heaven. So that's real bad. Anyway, I'm just saying, don't be surprised if in the future names don't get named some more. That's scriptural to do that. Alright? Okay, but you're supposed to walk in love, my brother. Well, the guy who wrote that passage is Paul. 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And even in Ephesians, we've been studying. Walk in love, you know, imitate God, walk in love. He is walking in love. It's not wrong to do this. He's walking in love towards all the people that would be persuaded by these two guys. Okay. So what were these guys teaching, for crying out loud? He says, their word will eat as does a cancer, of whom is, I'll try, Hymenaeus and Philetus. How's that? Hyme and Phil. Anyway. Who, concerning the truth, have erred. But what are they saying? They're saying that the resurrection, and that means obviously the physical resurrection, is past already. Isn't that something? First century, during Paul's lifetime, had that kind of doctrine already, that kind of error, listening to devils, because the Holy Ghost doesn't teach that. They needed Dave's book already. They already needed Dave's book. Because you don't get that kind of error from the Holy Ghost. You get it from your own reasonings inspired by demons. Demonic thinking. So they're saying that the resurrection, or you get it out of greed, you know, just trying to, you know, come up with something squirrely so you can draw a crowd and get their offerings. People do that too. It says in Peter, it says they make merchandise out of it and they're doing it on purpose. Okay, but anyway. I hope nobody came for a milkshake. They're overthrowing the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure. Now see, for years I thought that he changed the subject here. He's about to talk about vessels in a house, and some are good and some are bad. And I thought he was changing the subject, but just so you can learn how meditation works, come on down to verse 23 for a minute. We'll go back up there. Now, what was he talking about? Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Look at verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. Has he changed the subject? He's still talking about the same thing, isn't he? So everything in here is on that subject. Now, I say that because if you will read most commentaries, which I don't read hardly any of them anymore, but I did in the early days, I'm telling you, they draw some of the most strange, be nice, doctrines out of these verses, which you can't possibly do if you leave it in the context. So let's leave it in context. So verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, knowing this seal. Boy, you got to know this. The Lord knows them that are His. Raise your hands. Let's worship God for a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you know that I am yours. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, you know that I am yours. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you that you know that I am yours, Lord. I may be messed up. I may have all kinds of questions. I may be battling 3 tons of flesh, but I'm yours, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for that.
Hallelujah.
They can come and tell you, oh, you're not His. You missed the resurrection. No, He knows who's His, and I'm one of them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, glory to God. He knows who is His. Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Gary, I need the eschatological, hermeneutical, doctrinal explanation of what that means. That means quit sinning. that's the pure definition. Stop it! And then comes this, from your own reasonings inspired by demons. Gary, how do you know this? Don't ask me how I know this. The next thought after that is, I can't. And that's the lie. And I've been through that with you how many times, using that one example of the smoking when I thought, there's no way, I can't quit. I tried 1,000 times. I bought the nicotine gum. I bought the patches. I bought everything. I've done everything. And I've tried, and even my own family buys them for me because nobody can live with me when I try and quit, you know. And so I can't. And that whole time I believed that, it was all a lie the whole time. You can depart from iniquity too. You can. And that's the gospel. But because it's never preached, we don't ever give any strong meat. People, they believe the gospel like I believed it. Well, I'm forgiven, but I'm not changed. So, I'm still the old sinner I always was. So I just got to try and do better. But there ain't no chance of living sin-free. But over and over again, you'll find in the New Testament, depart from iniquity. How can you, being made, this used to kill me dead, being made free from sin, continue therein? Puff, puff. And I'm going, I don't know. But it was a wrestling of doctrine. It was a wrestling within me saying, you can't. And the Bible says you can. You can't. The Bible says you can. Hallelujah. He knows you're His. We still yet need to depart from iniquity. You keep coming. You keep praying. I'm going to say it again because it's perfect and it saved my life. Thank God. And He doesn't say it much anymore. It must have been just for me. But in the early days, He would say it again. Y'all, those who have been here a long time, didn't He used to say all the time, God will walk through hell with a man with a fault, or a woman with a fault, as long as you don't start justifying it and saying it's okay and start calling sin righteousness, which it isn't. But you know it's wrong, but you just don't know how to get free yet. God will walk through hell with you. Just keep doing the thing that will eventually result in your freedom. That saved my life. Because nowadays we just say it this way, better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. But if you keep on, You'll depart from iniquity. Anything that's still remaining, there's strongholds in the land, see? All right, let's keep going. So let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house, and he's talking about the house of God here. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth. some to honor, some to dishonor. Now let's talk real plain. In your house, you've probably got a C, a vessel to honor. A toaster would be good, you know. And toaster is a vessel, you can use it. It's a okay, what's not good? Trash can. But you need them both. You need a vessel, you know, we have a refrigerator, that's a vessel, you know, good one, useful. Then you got a you got a trash can. You got a vacuum cleaner. What do you put in it? Is it useful? Do you need it in your house? Now, what he's really talking about here, he's drawing analogies. He's trying to let you know, Hymie and Phil, they're still in the house of God. Now, right now, they may be serving the function of a trash can and a vacuum cleaner. See, think, you got to remember how I grew up. The denomination I grew up in, men that loved Jesus have given their whole life to be a pastor and be in a little bitty town where you know you're not going to ever, you know, get rich there. You're going to have a small church the rest of your life, but you're there because you think, you know, you want to get people saved. And they do get people saved. But those same men will stand in the pulpit and tell you tongues is of the devil. Are we going to condemn them to hell because they're off track on that? No, those men, they'll preach Christ and get people saved every Sunday. You don't condemn them to hell because they're off on one point. We could, in fact, we better do it. I see people that may not have heard this from Dave. Hold your place and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's pick it up in verse 6. It's hard to start anywhere without going all the way back. He says, I have planted and Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but it's God that gives the increase. By the way, so just so you'll know, Paul was an apostle. He would go into a region where nobody even knew about Christ, which that was the case in Corinth. Hardly anybody there knew about Jesus. Apollos was a teacher. Apollos was probably more like Gary. Apollos came later, and he was teaching people that were already saved. So that's why Paul says, I planted. I started the church. Apollos has come and watered what I planted. Got that? All right. But he says, just because one's an evangelist and or apostle and one is a teacher, that's not what really matters ultimately. What does matter? It's God who gives the increase. See, that's what matters. So he that planteth and he that watereth are one. In other words, we're laboring in the same field. We're not in competition with one another. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, and you are God's husbandry, God's garden, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. That's Christ and him crucified. He told you in chapter 2. And another buildeth upon. He's talking about Apollos. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He told him back here in chapter 2, you can read it later, he says, when I came to you the first time, I only had one message, and that's Christ and him crucified. That is the foundation. To be born again, that's what you got to believe. He is the Christ. He was crucified for you. He bore your iniquity, carried your pains, and so forth. You trust in him, you get born again. That's the foundation. These guys had that. Now watch. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, that would be correct doctrine. Gold, silver, precious stones. This is like Apollos. Paul came and laid the foundation of Christ. Here comes a teacher, and he's laying upon that foundation. If it's true doctrine, then it's gold, silver, precious stones. It's good. It's good. But another teacher might come. What's he building? Wood, hay, stubble. We could put today gold dusting, female angels, all kinds of other stuff in there. In that day, it would be one of them would be the resurrection is already past. Stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abides, which he built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. In other words, let's take those pastors where I grew up. Now, on the one hand, they're preaching the cross accurately. They're putting jewels and precious gold, and they're teaching Christ and about his substitutionary work. People get saved. People get blessed. That part they're going to get a reward for. But the other part, Tongues is of the devil. Tongues has passed away. Healing has passed away. You can only be healed if it's His will. And you could just add on and on. That's wood, hay, and stubble. They're not going to receive a reward for that. But notice it doesn't keep them out of heaven. What does keep them out of heaven? Well, he tells you here. So he says, if any man's work abides, which he's built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. I mean, loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. In other words, if all your doctrine is wrong, it might singe everything. Everything's gone, you know. But thank God you made heaven. You may come in smelling a little bit like smoke, you know. But at least you're in. He shall be saved. It's even so as by fire. But now notice. He says, know you not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile, and the real Greek definition of the word there is destroyed. If any man destroys the temple of God. Boy, that when I found out the real meaning of that word, now that one really helped me. They didn't do us a favor by putting the word defile. See, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, the way that was always preached to me, what is that defilement? Chewing, smoking, drinking, going with girls that are doing the smoking, chewing, and drinking, you know, and other things. You know? And so that put us all in real danger. But you see, the real meaning of the word is not defile. The real meaning of the word is destroy. Uh-oh. How in the world do you destroy a building? You got to attack the foundation. See, what he's really saying is, look, as long as they don't start denying that Jesus is the Christ and Him crucified, as long as they hold to that, as long as they don't destroy the foundation, they can pile all kinds of wood, hay, stubble. They may teach their whole life like Hymenaeus and Hymie and Phil over there, like they're doing. Ah, the resurrection is past, but still yet, as long as they don't destroy the foundation, which is Christ and Him crucified, thank God, they'll still make heaven. Now, they may come in smelling like smoke, but they'll make it. Amen? You got that? All right, so let's go back over here. That's what he's talking about. He's going, these guys are still in God's house. He tells you in a minute how to be one or the other. I will tell you this, I'd rather be a trash can in the household of God than a gold vessel in the household of the devil.
Amen.
I'd rather be a trash can. I've said that to the Lord before. Lord, I'll sweep, I'll broom, I'll do anything you want, but make sure I stay in the house. That's all I really care about now. So he's telling you here that these guys are still in the house. Now, by their own choice, they've made themselves vessels of dishonor right now. You can't give into their ministry. It'd be like putting it in the trash can. You can't do that. But they're still in God's house. They're preaching a false doctrine, all right, but they're not denying that Jesus is the Christ. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold, and we're back to 2 Timothy now, if you can't tell, gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. Now, which do you want to be? He tells you, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now, then he says, flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith. We could almost take this directly from Ephesians, couldn't we? We'll go right back over to Ephesians. You know, don't let anybody be caught in fornication or stealing or any of that type of stuff. Here he says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, which is love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now he's picking it up again. He's still saying, Timothy, foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Knowing that they do gender strifes, and the servant of the Lord must not strive. Now, what he means by that in anger, okay? But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Mike was listening to my boot camp series. That was right after I had learned some of the truths. I got to tell you, I was angry. I was so mad when I started seeing the truth. I couldn't believe that these men on TV standing in the place of God had lied to me and lied to me. And I'm not as nice probably as I should have been on those boot camp tapes, you know. I think I can do it better now. It's still a little anger wells up in me when I hear them say that stuff on TV, you know. This week, God's putting a special blessing on Ezra 7:7, if there is such. I'm just picking a number. And there's a special anointing on an offer of $77 this week. Oh, for go get a job. Oh, anyway. Stop it. You don't want to get into heaven smelling like smoke. You got to stop it, see? You know? I'm still angry a little bit. Can you tell? It makes me angry. I was really angry in those days. I mean, I was going, all right. But hopefully I can teach a little more in love now and try not to strive with all men so much, you know. Okay, the servant of the Lord must not strive, Gary. Be gentle unto all men. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Apt to teach. Patient. Yes, sir. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. In meekness. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And that they may recover themselves. Now, boy, now get this. That they may recover themselves. See, you're teaching. But it's really up to them. See, I had to go through this in reverse. I knew that I knew what I knew about the tithe and many other things. Sowing and reaping, hundredfold return. I taught all that stuff because those that I trusted taught it to me on TV. And the Holy Ghost had to, He was very gentle with me, really, very, but I had to do the, once you see the truth, once He shows you the truth, you still got to make a decision. See, that's what He's talking about here. You got to make a decision. I had to recover myself. Out of the snare of the devil. What was the snare? False doctrine. And when the Holy Ghost, He would gently teach me, gently. He'd show me another little nugget, show me another little nugget. And finally I went, I had to make that decision. My God, everything I've ever heard about the tithe is wrong. My daddy believes it wrong. His daddy before him believed it wrong. But you just keep on praying and the Holy Ghost will get it across to you. Now I had to make a choice right there. I said, I'm going to have to either stay with what I've known my whole life, or I'm going to have to repent. When I made that decision to cross over to what the Holy Ghost was showing me, that's when I recovered myself out of the snare of the devil. Not everybody does. Not everybody can let go of it. Their traditions are too dear. That's what was partly wrong with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The traditions of men, they esteemed that even higher than the Word of God. Jesus told him He did. He says, You'll overthrow the Word of God to hold onto these traditions of men. One of them was that Corbin thing, you know. Well, the Word of God says you're supposed to honor your mother and your father. And when they get older, you're supposed to help them, you know. He says, but you say, you've come up with this Corbin thing. Well, I've already dedicated all my money to the temple, and therefore I can't help my mother and father. Boy, he got on to him about that. He said, you're absolutely destroying God's Word with your traditions. And they love their traditions more than God's Word. So, even after the Holy Ghost, that's why teachers are here. That's part of my job. I get some heat sometimes. I'm getting some from a pastor in California right now. I almost hate to check my inbox anymore. But I'm gently trying to teach this guy. At this point, he thinks he's trying to correct me. But I've already been through all this. Every question he's got, I've been through all this. So the Lord's trying to rescue him. And as long as I don't blow up at the guy, then I'm an instrument that the Lord can use to help bring this guy along, see? Well, you're going to be the same everywhere you go, so we've got to do it without striving if we can. We've got to do it without butting heads. But now, there's lots of Spirit-filled people that believe we're under the curse of the tithe. Just turn on the TV. No, don't turn it on. Take my word for it. Don't turn it on. Trust me. They're still teaching it just the same. One of them, now they'll get a little tricky. One of them said this. I heard him say this. I'm so glad I saw it with my own. I heard it with my own ears and saw him do it. He says, "Well, I'm not saying you're under the curse if you don't tithe. Jesus bore the curse," and he was thinking just about like this. He says, "But isn't it awful? All the bad things are going to happen to you if you don't tithe." Oh, man. That's the same thing, you know. It's the same thing, but he couldn't get away from it. He had a glimpse of the revelation. Jesus bore that curse already. Okay, verse 26 again. Is this all right with you guys? Just a little meat serving here. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Now he's talking about in particular here Jaime and Phil. He's hoping those guys can be recovered, but it's really their choice. At this point, as long as they won't repent, as long as they won't change when they hear the truth, they're just taken captive by the devil at his will. That's what's scary about it. See, if you love a lie, you won't believe the truth. Now, before I leave that chapter, he really does change the subject here. In another place, I didn't look it up, I'm sorry, but it's in one of the letters to Timothy. He says, a heretic after the first and second admonition. He said, just reject. In other words, don't spend all your time trying to teach somebody who's not willing to be taught. See, years ago, I did that. I even did it in the real estate business. I've just always had I want to help people. I want people to be successful. And I've always had a teaching gift. I used to teach how to sell real estate. And if you did what I taught, you'd make money. Everybody who did it did. But I always, I wouldn't spend much time on the ones that were doing it. I always look for the little straggling sheep out here, the ones that weren't doing very good. And I'd just pour my life into them. I said, come on, now have some coffee. Let me talk to you here about this. Now, you need to go out and knock doors. You know, the guy who knocks doors, and we just go through it and go through it. One day, Sue come to me, because at this point, I had 62 agents working for me. She says, do you know you spend 90% of your time on people who's never going to do what you say? And I went, why? That's why I gave Richard the white hanky. That's just one of, he said he's learning to hear the wisdom of his wife. Trust me, over the years I've learned, to hear the wisdom of mine. It's through hard learning too. And she said, you know, your producers, if you spent some time with them, they could produce more. But you spend 90% of your time with people, and they loved it. They loved to have my time. They loved to ask questions. They loved to talk about it. And their questions sometimes are okay, but that's what they loved, the fellowship and the talking and all of that. They're never going to knock a door. They're never going to make a cold call. They're never going to pass out a business card. If somebody begs them, they might list their house for them or something like that, And she said, if you take that same time and put it into the producers, we could increase the business around here. So I finally did. It was really hard for me. See, I never thought of it before. That's a secular demonstration of the slow going slower and the fast going faster. There's a lot of people that love, and they will just love. They want to get, Brother Gary, I need a minute of your time. That's 4 hours. That's 4 hours. What they really like is that we do that about every day over at Starbucks and talk about the Bible, and they're not going to pray. Not really. They're not going to do this. They like to talk about it. And then, really, one step beyond there, though, are the foolish question people. Now, what they have this, I want to show you my revelation. They only want to show it to me if I'm going to agree with them that it's correct. And as soon as I show them from the Word that it's not correct, we got striving going on. And it tells me plainly, don't spend a whole lot of time on those people. If they keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it, they're not sincere. So what the Lord told me years ago to help me get free from that, because I still had that tendency, okay? And so the Lord told me, He says, son, as a teacher, get it straight, you're only called to the hungry. Gary, you're only called to the hungry. No matter how bad you want somebody to learn, if they don't want to be taught, you cannot teach them. You cannot. No matter how hard you try, you can send them free tapes till Jesus comes, and they're not going to come down here and pray. They're not going to do the message. They're not going to do it. So, not really, and nobody in this room, I'm not thinking of anybody really in here, because they don't normally come to this kind of anyway. But I have to be careful. I'm talking to you too. Be careful that you don't spend all your time on vain babblings and, what do you say, unlearned questions, striving about words. Now, I like to know the tenses and stuff. I mean, there's some of that good stuff. But, man, you can lose days. I mean, you can... If you'd put that same 4 hours in prayer, both of you come out better. Okay? Don't get caught up in striving about words to no profit. Don't be spending all your time talking about all that stuff. Let's get into chapter 3, and we may have to, I don't know when, how long we'll continue this. This know also, that in the last days, would y'all reckon we're about there? That in the last days, perilous times shall come. How will we know those times, Paul? Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, which means greedy. The word actually means lovers of silver. You reckon he's talking about people outside the church or people inside the church?
Inside.
He's talking about people inside the church. He's warning a pastor. Pastor. He's not talking about the local news in Ephesus. He's talking about inside the church. Now, I'm wanting to warn you that in the last days, of course, I think Paul thought Jesus was coming back right then, you know, or at least maybe in Timothy's lifetime. They said, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Boy, greedy. In the church, Peter says, they make merchandise of the sheep. I'm going to tell you again, somebody sent me an email. I'm not going to tell you who this ministry is, but if I did tell you, every person in here would know who it is without me explaining. A major ministry. A ministry that I, on a lot of ways, I think pretty highly of. This ministry has their mailing address for sale on the website. Yeah, the price keeps changing. The last time I checked, it was $50,000. You say, oh, that's a lot of money. Honey, you'd get that back the first month. This is a major ministry. They brag on there, our donors give zama-zama percentage more than the average donor list. And we'll share this with you for $50,000. And you can get their names, addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses for sale. How's that for making merchandise of the sheep? See, and the idea being, you know, we're a little small ministry. Oh, if I had that, then I know these people are all givers. Oh, I could start sending a letter, you know, and say, somebody recommended us. You know, you know how you start. Somebody recommended I send this letter to you. And so, well, the idea is you're making merchandise of the sheep. God help us all. God help us all. First time I looked at that, it was $10,000. Now I think it's $50,000 for it. Maybe, anyway. Covetous, greedy, lovers of silver. How about boasters? In the pulpit, it scares me. I don't mind people having good things. I mean, you know, I don't think the Lord, I don't think it's always His will for us to have holes in our shoes and I'll start to say holes in the, you know, in our jeans, but I guess that's the fashion now. You pay extra to get holes in your jeans, you know. But when you see men of God stand in the pulpit, in a $10,000 Armani suit, shoes that cost $1,000 each? Each? $2,000 each? No, $2,000 a pair, I mean? Wearing a Rolex watch? And say statements like, I've heard them say it God, of course they're teaching all of that false doctrine about sowing and reaping and hundredfold return, and they're teaching on. So they're the benefactors of that. You know, that money, you know where that money doesn't go to heaven, right? You do know that's going to them. Now, they use some of it for the gospel. I'm not saying they don't. But when I hear one of them stand up there and say, I don't even know how many cars I own. Well, boasters, boasting, covetous, proud, blasphemers. Carlton would fit there. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. You know, unthankful and unholy. One time I was reading through there and the Lord said to me, I hope I can quote it exactly, I've got it written down. He said, holiness is the fruit of thankfulness. Holiness is the fruit of thankfulness. Well, I've never forgotten that. See, if you're like me and Sue, you know, and nobody had to convince us we were sinners. I mean, the way I felt, I was being held out by the scruff of the neck right over the hell's fire itself. I mean, no chance, no way to redeem myself. My feet aren't even on the ground. I'm just held out over hell, you know. And Jesus come and rescue me from that. And know it's all by His work and not mine. I didn't deserve it at all. There's a root of thankfulness that will keep you from a lot of stuff. I mean, how after He did all that for me, how can I go and do that stuff, see? And we'd never been back to the bars, man. We'd never been back to any, you know, that stuff. Now, we had strongholds to get free from, like everybody does, but I'm talking about just blatantly, I'm going back to the bars and I'm just going to go drink and I'm going to sleep around. Forget that stuff. After what He did for me, that's good, isn't it? Holiness is a fruit, the fruit, I think you said. Holiness is the fruit of thankfulness. When you start getting, I notice people when they start getting unthankful, well, I'm not being treated right, my husband isn't doing me right, and we should be in a bigger house, and I don't like the car I'm driving. I'm just picking stuff now. You could take that in any vein. You don't start counting your blessings, but you start counting your grumbles. Not going to be long. You're going to be making wrong decisions. You know, you're going to be doing stuff that 2 years ago you'd never thought you'd do. You'll wind up divorcing your spouse and leaving your church and leaving that good job that, you know, you better be thankful. Thankful. Count your many blessings. Count them one by one. I've literally done that before when depression was trying to set in. One. Saved. That's always first. Saved. No matter what else. Yeah, I'm on my way to heaven. Two is Sue. You know? Well, it depends on what kind of day we had. Sometimes. No, it's always number two, baby. I love you, baby. She might listen to this. Number three. Literally, I'll be down so low, you know, literally start counting. I've filled up pages on a bad day. I have filled up literally pages on a bad day, one by one, because then you start, and by the time you're done with that, then you, how could I have been, so, Lord, I thank you. Then you're into worship again. See, it's just, they go hand in hand. Hand in hand. We're getting close to let me just kind of read ahead and we'll get into this maybe next time. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, that's a word, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, how about this one, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now these are not people in the world. You read that and you say, he's got to be talking about the world. Having a form of what? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. People he's talking about, all of that he's talking about up there is church and really leaders in the church, if you want to know the truth of it. From such, turn away. Isn't that something? And the thing of it is, what scares me a little bit, if Paul thought it was that way in the first century, what would he write today? Lord have mercy. You know, I mean, if he saw that already in the first century compared to what's going on now, Father, we want to have that same testimony as the Apostle Paul at the end of our life. We kept the faith. We fought the good fight. And we finished the race that you set out in front of us. Father, we thank you for all of these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Everybody says,
Amen.
Amen.